Test, test. Good morning. Let's turn to Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may go well with you? And now is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." And she said to her, "All that you say I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came secretly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. And it happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. And now it is true I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning and rose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Again he said, "Give me the cloak that is on you and hold it." So she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley, and it laid on her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did it go, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done for her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, 'Do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then she said, "Wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today." Amen. So this is the chapter where Boaz begins the process of redeeming Ruth. And so we have here in the beginning, Naomi basically says, "You know what? I'm not gonna rest until we basically make sure that you have security, or you have your own rest." And so she says, "This is what we're gonna do." Now, what in our culture, you know, this sounds very, very weird. You know, the guy's lying down, he uncovers her feet, and then he lies perpendicular to her. It just seems so odd. But this is a customary Jewish practice. And so the key here is that Ruth is being given, or Boaz is being given the opportunity to be that kinsman redeemer. And now I'll just share a little bit as we continue on. So let's just go through the narrative here. So he goes and makes sure that he's down, make sure that he doesn't know who you are. Now, when after he's drunk and he goes down, after the winnowing, and just give you, because I know none of us at our church are farmers. Any of you guys ever did any farming at all? Yeah, I didn't think so. Winnowing was basically is this simple function. It was a way to actually save time. And they would take the grain they would throw it up in the air with all the chaff and all the, even some bee devils, you know, little bugs and whatnot. And what they would do is they throw it up in the air when the wind blows, and the wind itself would blow the chaff away, and the grain, because it's heavier, would just fall down. And so that's how you would separate the grain from the unnecessary stuff that you don't eat, the chaff, what they call. And so this obviously was done at night because the day is hot, the wind blows in the evening, so it's very customary for the owners of the land. And in fact, you could see that Boaz, even though he was a very wealthy man, he was actually a very humble man because he goes and sleeps in the field, which is really left for other people to do that. And so typically what they would do, they would throw the wheat up, the wheat would fall down, it would make a huge heap of wheat, and they would actually sleep on the wheat to protect it, you know, from thieves and whatnot. And that's typically this custom. And so he goes and he drinks and he's merry and he goes to lie down. And the next thing you know, in the middle of the night, she goes and she uncovers his feet, lies down perpendicular. And when he wakes up, and he's startled, he sees this woman. And what does he do? He takes his cloak and he covers her with it. The act, and any of you guys that have ever been married, you would know what this means. The act of covering her was really the way of her of Boaz saying, okay, I will marry you. This is done. We do it in a different way. In fact, a lot of the Western custom of marriage, you know, the veil that's covered is very similar in that way. If you go to a Jewish wedding, we know that part of the wedding ceremony takes the shawl, the prayer shawl, and you actually cover your wife with that. And this would be in a lot of weddings in Eastern cultures very similarly. And what that basically meant is, like, I'm covering you, which means I'm going to protect you. I'm yours, basically, and you're mine. It's not like a slave thing, you know, nothing like that, but just as an ownership, I'm betrothed to you in that way. And so this is a quite a beautiful Jewish act of saying, okay, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be your protector in that way. Now, I have to share this. There are some people that actually talk about this, and they're basically saying that Ruth had sexual relations with Boaz and all this stuff. It's totally not true because it's totally out of context. Yes, there are passages that talk about uncovering their feet, which was akin to male genitalia in these times, and you know, and some of these things, and cover and uncover and whatnot. And so, you know, where the Bible talks about uncovering their nakedness, which actually was an act of sex. But that's not the context here. And so, you know, don't get carried away in that, because the idea is uncovering their feet, which is a very different thing. But you could tell when, especially when he responds, look what he says here. Verse 10. So he's startled. He says, may you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first. This last kindness means this act right now compared to the first act. The first act was remaining with Naomi. And so he says that what you're doing right now is even greater, better than what you did before in remaining with her. Why? Why is that? What, remember when she says to Naomi, she says, your people will be my people and your God will be my God. What is she doing? She is actually fulfilling Jewish law as this idea of the kinsman redeemer, in the sense that Ruth, she could actually marry anybody. She could have found a good-looking young man. That's what Boaz says. Boaz probably was not a young man. He could have found someone rich or poor. In other words, she could have married whoever she wanted to marry. But Ruth, when she lies down next to Boaz, he's basically saying, I choose you. Now, it doesn't only mean I choose you. What it's actually saying is, I choose your God and I choose your customs. And so Boaz is just blown away. Here's this woman, this Moabite woman, that is totally giving herself into, and she's like, oh my gosh, you really are our people. You really are, you know, worship our God. And it's just this beautiful act of humility and of servanthood in following what his, you know, relative Naomi is requesting. Now notice here, and verse 11, he says, now my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. And so this tells us that Boaz did some due diligence. You know, Boaz is interested in Ruth. And so, you know, he's went around and asked around about her. And like I shared yesterday, it's the same idea in Proverbs 31, where it says, a virtuous wife, who can find? He is far more precious than jewels, and so on and so forth. And he's using that same word and saying, man, this This is a virtuous woman. Now, obviously, if she went and had sexual relations with Boaz, she's not a virtuous woman in this regard. That's why you can just throw that theory away. And in fact, I don't know why I even share with you. I feel like I need to be thorough in the teaching in case you read something else. And so it says, you are a woman of excellence. But you can tell that Boaz is really interested in Ruth, because the next line it says, now I know it's true, I'm a close relative. However, there's a relative closer than I. And so he went and did some research, and he went down the family tree and, talked to grandma and grandpa and uncles and aunts and found out. And so, I mean, you could tell that there's something of the affection that's on his heart over this woman. And he says, there's someone else, but don't worry, by tomorrow morning, I'm going to take care of this. And that's where we get to in chapter 4, is this really a beautiful picture that happens later on. He goes out and he beats, you can see the, remember when he says, I'll do whatever you ask for all my people know, basically I'm going to protect you as a cover. And she tells him, tells the guys, let her out, let no one know that she came, just in case that the other kinsman who's closer relative would take her and redeem her as his wife. And so Boaz is really all about protecting Ruth. I mean, when he covers her in that way, it really is a beautiful picture. And Boaz actually does it even from the beginning. And so let's go back and let's just talk about relationships a little bit in this regard. And I think this is a really good picture of dating relationships and also of marriages in that way. Notice one of the first things, and probably one of the primary things when people like each other or in that place, is the responsibility of the male to protect the female. There is a covering that happens. Unfortunately, this is lost quite a bit in relationships because people are so broken. And this is really the tragedy, of pornography and these type of things. I mean, think about it. The whole idea is covering, right? Porn, all that stuff is revealing nakedness. It's exposing in that regard. And so it's so important. And I know that, there are a handful of men here. I mean, there probably should be more, especially when it comes to prayer. But you guys be very careful, in relationships, even when you start liking a girl, or there's the beginnings of affection, or some of those things that happen, and make sure that you're in the business of protecting your sisters in that regard. And in that same idea, the kinsman redeemer, right? You are kinsmen in that regard, because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And Boaz, I mean, Boaz was a righteous dude. You look at through every step of the way, he's providing, he's covering, he's protecting, he's loving through actions in the way that he treats Ruth in this regard. And then he actually goes and ultimately finishes off that redemption by basically negotiating with his kinsmen and winning her over, basically, in this regard. And so this simple idea of in relationships, especially as it pertains to men, honestly, one of the saddest things I hear, I actually heard this when I was in Singapore this past week, about about somebody in church, and they're not coming to, this is a female, not coming to SP anymore. And that's, oh, how come? I know this person. Why not? Oh, it's because, she was not really dating a guy. There was just some guy at SP that was interested in her and just really did her wrong. Just did her bad. I didn't ask about the details. I don't want to know the details because I might wring this guy's neck. So I don't know who the guy is, but it's, I hear that a lot of times, right? It's not even in a dating context, But it's just in a getting to know each other context. And there's some affections and some feelings and some words shared. But in all honesty, this brother did not protect his heart or her heart. And so she got hurt. And then, you know, that's typically what happens. Oh, they sometimes these ladies and it's not an excuse, but, you know, I don't have any faith in Christian men. You know, they're just like, you know, guys in the world. So, you know, this whole thing about just dating and marrying Christians, I don't know. And that's basically how this spiral goes. And when you think of stories like that, really the onus is on the brother. That's your job. You are, in essence, in that same regard, the kinsman redeemer. You are the one that covers. You're the one that's supposed to lay the cloak over, you know, our sisters and protect them in that way. And, you know, it's always really sad, you know, when you hear these kind of stories. Because, I'm, you know, honestly, I'm always bragging about, you know, the guys at our church. But, man, there's a lot of knuckleheads in this body. And a lot of it, I mean, they may be very good, you know, in many different areas. But for someone, when it comes to relationships, man, they're just stupid. I mean, just outright dumb in the way that they move forward with their words, but their hearts actually have not followed along. And so people get hurt, you know, as a result. I think Boaz is really, really a great lesson for us. And in fact, when I was a youth pastor, I actually used this narrative of Boaz and Ruth to talk about Christian dating in this regard. You know, in the sense that Boaz, you know, he was a coverer, he was a protector. He went and did his due diligence and found out, you know, about her and then married her. And, I mean, I don't want to get into the whole sermon that I used to give back in the days, but it's really just this incredible picture of what happens here. And so, you know, I think we have to be very, very aware. Notice another thing about Boaz, and this is one thing that, you know, I tell my daughters, and this is something that, you know, I tell sisters at our church. One of the things that you should be looking for in a man is that generosity. Generosity speaks to so many things in life. And this was a generous dude, man. He gives her, at the end of this, says, I don't want you to go empty-handed back to your mother-in-law, because Boaz knows that this is really, you know, Ruth would have never come up with this idea, because this is a total Jewish custom. And so Boaz, being a smart man, says, okay, this must be, you know, the act of my kinsman, you know, your mother-in-law. And so he sends her back with, you know, a measure, or what the Hebrews called a seah of bar. That's 2.5 gallons. She was given 2.5 times 6, about 15 gallons of food. Can you imagine? It's like her whole cloak. She could have never carried this thing. You know, I mean, she definitely had to have some kind of cart or whatnot. And he that's a heap of food. That's like feeds an army in this regard. He is so generous to Ruth and her mother-in-law, his kinsman in that regard. And you can see, that's why, you know, Boaz is, like I say, is a really righteous guy. And you can see how he does it. And then in chapter 4, man, if you don't love Boaz already, you're going to really fall in love with him as he finishes off this deal. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let's think about this in two different ways, okay? And obviously, yes, you know, ladies, you too, you also are to protect the brothers. You know, and honestly, you know how one of the ways you can protect them? Being careful what you wear at church. You know, I mean, honestly, sometimes, man, some girls at our church, they wear the sluttiest things, man. It's like unbelievable. That's not very protecting in that regard. But that's not my main point. If you're a brother, married, are you covering? Are you praying for her? Are you protecting her? Are you loving her? Really simple. If you are dating, are you doing that as well to your girlfriend? Or as prospective husbands and boyfriends in your dealings with females. And I'm all for dating, and I have no issues with that. Getting to know people of opposite sex, yeah, by all means. But are you doing it righteously? Is it a selfish pursuit? Or are you really seeking the benefit of the other? That's the Christian ethos. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. The flip side, ladies, are you protecting guys as well? By the way you dress, by the way you speak, by your own attitudes. That's one side, but the other side too. If you've been wronged by a brother, a Christian brother, in the area of relationships, can I ask you to forgive them? Don't forgive them for their benefit. Forgive them for your benefit. Because what happens out of unforgiveness is bitterness. And that affects everything. That affects your personality. That affects your communication. That affects your relationships. Even as wives or girlfriends, and you've not felt loved and protected, can you forgive your husbands? Maybe some of you are dealing with bitter root judgments. Cast those things off of yourself, that you may walk in a place of wholeness. That's how relationships happen. Two whole people come together and make a whole relationship. See, this is not like math. Two halves don't make a whole. Two halves make a really horrible relationship. Brothers, let's be that kinsman redeemer to our ladies. Let's pray.
I need you, Lord.
And let's pray this morning. Let's just take care of business with Jesus. Because as a man, you're convicted. Talk to the Lord. Repent. As a female as well, maybe you need to forgive. Let's have a conversation with the Lord. And in that way, let's pray. Pray over the church. Let's pray for healthy male-female relationships. Let's pray for godly. Let's pray for Boazes and Ruths to really rise up within our body. That we would do as a man, we would do our women right. And as a woman, we would do our men right. Well, let's lift up. Let's pray. Pray for yourselves and pray for the church. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for our community. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters and family members that are battling with cancer and going through therapies. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for the revelation of the Father in their life and spiritual healing and physical healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing touch. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray over our mission focus, and let's pray for Cambodia today. Let's pray over Grace and pray over Bloom. Ask God to continue to minister to her and through this organization, that many young women would come to faith and really be healed and rescued. Let's also lift up Pastor Sophia in Japan. Pray for her language studies, that it would go well, that she'd really be totally immersed into the culture, and Holy Spirit would use her in her church that she's stationed at as well. But let's also lift up these countries before the Lord. They both need healing. They both need revival. And let's pray. Let's pray over our prayer and healing ministries. So let's pray for IP, The Well, Cascade. Pray for anointing. Pray for God's protection. Pray for our leaders. Pray for all the volunteers that minister. Pray that every time they would pray for the church or pray for people, that God would show up, that Holy Spirit would move on their behalf, on behalf of their prayers. Let's lift up. Let's cover our education ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, the youth group, the SPU. Pray for anointing with our leaders and volunteers. And pray that young people would encounter God in each of these ministries. Let's cover our outreaches tonight. Let's pray for SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead our volunteers, protect them. Pray for divine appointments, and just the presence of God would be there through every conversation. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Robin Hood, Elements, Happy Valley, and Olympic. Let's pray for just a real incredible time of the presence of the Lord. Let's pray that the conversations, the worship, the work, even the dinner time, that people really connect with one another and especially connect with the Lord. And let's pray for tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God. Thank you this morning. Thank you for just another reminder, God, of the way that we are to honor one another in relationships, God, as men honor our women and our women honor our men, Father. And I pray that you would really set that as a standard, God, above this fellowship, God, over this body. Lord, we just want to pray for, Lord, many women, God, in this church, Lord, that may have been hurt, God, by SP men. And Lord, we just pray, God, for forgiveness. God, we pray for repentance. God, we pray, God, for healing to happen in each of their lives, God, male and female. And Lord, and you just really raise our church to rise above, God, all the pettiness and the sin, Lord, and to really honor you, God, by honoring one another. And we thank you, Lord. Help us, God, today. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow. We finish the book of Ruth.